Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Sefer Daniel, Perek He. With this perek, we skip to the middle of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar. We are immediately brought into a feast, but the text does not tell us what they are celebrating. It does, however, tell us what vessels they were using at the party. The first two psukim read, King Belshazzar made a great feast for his 1,000 dignitaries, and he drank as much wine as the 1,000. Belshazzar said, with the counsel of the wine, to bring the golden and silver vessels that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, that the king, his dignitaries, his queen, and his concubines should drink from them. The Gemara explains that Belshazzar brought out these vessels because he mistakenly calculated the 70 years, according to Yirmiyahu's prophecy, the amount of time until the redemption of Bnei Israel and the presumed end of the Babylonian kingdom. And yet, the Jews had not been redeemed, and the Babylonians were not only surviving, but thriving after several victories against the Medes. The Gemara in Megillah 11b explains, what is this calculation? As it is written with regard to Jeremiah's prophecy of a return to Eretz Yisrael, after 70 years are accomplished for Babylonia, I will remember you and perform my good word toward you, enabling you to return to this place. From Yirmiyahu Chaf Tet Yud. And elsewhere it is written, in a slightly different formulation, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, meditated in the books over the number of the years which the word of the Lord came to Yirmiyahu the prophet, that he would accomplish for the desolations of Jerusalem 70 years. From Daniel Perek Tet Pasuk Bet. He, Belshazzar, calculated as follows. 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar, and 23 of evil Merodach, and 2 of his own, for a total of 70 years that had passed without redemption. He was therefore certain that Jeremiah's prophecy would no longer be fulfilled, and he therefore said, I will take out the vessels of the Holy Temple and use them. After explaining how exactly he miscalculated the intervening years, the Gemara goes on to say what happened as a result of his fatal mistake. Spoiler alert, Belshazzar dies at the end of the perek. This is that which Daniel said to him with regard to his impending punishment for using the temple's vessels. But you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you. From Pasuk Chaf Gimel. And it is written further in the chapter, in that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. From Pasuk Lamed. This was the description of Belshazzar's mistaken calculation. And it states after the fall of Belshazzar and Dariavish, the Mede, received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. From Daniel Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph. Rashi adds a historical note on the first pasuk of our perek, explaining the feast. We find in Josephine, Book 1, Chapter 3, that he waged war by day with Dariavish the Mede and Cyrus and was victorious in the battle. So in the evening he made a feast, as Isaiah had prophesied about him, 21:5, setting the table, setting up the lamp, eating, drinking, arise, princess, etc. For in the midst of the feast, the enemies returned, waged war on the city, and captured it. While they were imbibing from the holy vessels, a mysterious hand appears from nowhere and writes on the wall, as Pasuk He relates. At that time, the fingers of a human hand emerged and wrote opposite the candelabrum on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the palm of the hand that was writing. This is the origin of the expression, the writing was on the wall. Belshazzar's reaction is described in Pasuk Vav. Then the king, his color changed and his thoughts frightened him. The belts of his loins became untied and his knees knocked one against the other. He immediately called for all his necromancers, Chaldeans, and astrologers to interpret the writing with zero success. Belshazzar becomes even more frightened than before. In Psukim Yodri Yodbet, the queen enters the banquet to offer a solution. The queen, in response to the words of the king and his dignitaries, entered the banquet hall. The queen raised her voice and said, may the king live forever. Let your thoughts not frighten you, and let your color not change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of holy angels, and in your father's time enlightenment, understanding, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the angels, was found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, appointed him prince of the necromancers, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the demonologists, so did your father the king. All because a superior spirit, knowledge, and understanding to interpret dreams, tell riddles, and untie knots was found in him, in Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be summoned, and he will tell the interpretation. Who was this queen, and why was she not present at the feast until now? Malbim explains that there are those who say she was his mother, and some say she was his grandmother. Placing her one or two generations prior to the current king would explain why she knew of Daniel and the king did not. Malbim further explains that she was not present at the party, as she was the only woman with the title of queen, and she remained in her palace and emerged only to calm Belshazzar. It is interesting to note that she refers to him as Daniel, and only in passing does she mention that the king named him Belteshazzar. From previous chapters, we saw that Nebuchadnezzar only referred to Daniel by his Babylonian name he himself had bestowed upon him. Malbim explains that both Belshazzar and Belteshazzar are for the same Babylonian deity. Since the current king held this name, no one else was allowed to be called for this deity. Therefore, he is now called Daniel. Daniel is called in, and Belshazzar offers him lavish praise and gifts. In rejecting all these overtures, Daniel responds to him in a way that does not seem familiar from the previous chapters. Perhaps Belshazzar's complete disrespect for the vessels of the Beis Hamikdash, in contrast to his father's respect for them and fear of Hashem for most of his life, brought out this abruptness in the way Daniel relates to him. Alternatively, Malbim explains that what Daniel was about to do, reading a line of writing in a language he was familiar with, was not worthy of any gifts. Out of humility, Daniel rejected any reward for what he was about to do. Before reading the writing on the wall, Daniel proceeds to give Belshazzar an education in how Hashem rules the world, and a review of the previous episode in which Nebuchadnezzar lived like an animal and lost his kingdom for 7 years until he re-acknowledged Hashem. In contrast, he admonishes Belshazzar for not yielding and humbling himself to Hashem's will, and for drinking from the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash in addition to praising idols. Finally, in Pasuk Chaf Hei, Daniel reads the writing on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Ufarsin. He then expounds on each word in Pesukim Chaf Vav to Chaf Chet. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has counted your kingdom and has brought it to an end. Tekel, you were weighed on the scales and found wanting. Ufarsin, your kingdom has been broken up and given to Media and Persia. It is worth taking the time to explore why it was so easy for Daniel to read, and yet none of the Babylonian experts could decipher it. The Gemara, starting in Sanhedrin 21b, presents a few different possibilities in a Braita. We will begin in the middle of it and read the relevant parts. And it is written, with regard to the writing on the wall of Belshazzar's palace, Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation. Daniel 5:8. And the reason they could not read it is that it was written in the new script that Ezra would transmit. And it is written that he shall write for himself a second Mishneh Torah from Devarim Yud Zayin Yud Chet, where second Mishneh teaches that it is written in a script that is apt to be changed, Lehishtanot. Why is the script called Asherit? Because it ascended with the Jewish people from Ashur when they returned from their exile in Babylonia. It is taught in a Braita. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, initially the Torah was given to the Jewish people in this script, Asherit, which is in use today. Once the Jewish people sinned, it turned into an impairment for them, and they began writing with a different script, Libona. Once they repented, the first script was returned to them, and they resumed writing with Asherit script. As it is stated, Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope, even today do I declare that I will render double Mishneh unto you, from Zechariah Tet Yud Bet, meaning that God restored to the Jewish people this script that had been changed, Nishtana. The Braita continues, if this script predates the exile to Babylonia, why is it called Ashurit? Because it is Me'usheret, beautiful and straight, in script. The Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that this script was not changed at all, what is the reason they could not read the writing? Rav says because it was written for them in the obscure code of Gematria. And Shmuel says the writing used the correct letters for those terms, But instead of being written in order, the four words, Mane Mene Tekel Farsin, were written vertically and were therefore meant to be read from the top down. If read in the usual way, from right to left, it says Mam Tos Nan Kafe Aran. And Rabbi Yochanan says each word was written backward, so that read right to left, they spelled Anem Anem Leket Nisrapu. Rav Ashi says they were written with the first two letters of each word reversed, Nima Nima Ketal Forsin. So, to summarize, the first explanation is that the writing was in Ashurit, which according to one opinion, this word refers to the land of Asher, where the Jews were before returning to Eretz Yisrael. The other opinion states that it was called Ashurit in reference to its beauty and predates the exile. It was the original script on the first 10 commandments, as explained by the Radbaz, and was lost after the golden calf and restored by Ezra. Rashi explains that this is why no one could read it at the time of Daniel, who preceded Ezra. It was on the very day of the writing on the wall that the script was restored to the Jewish people, but not fully introduced until Ezra. The next explanation tells us that it was written in code, where the last letter is in place of the first, the second, the last in place of the second, etc. Next, it was written vertically and not horizontally. Last, the first two letters were reversed in each word. After interpreting the words, Belshazzar gave Daniel the promised gifts of a purple robe and a golden chain. He then went home and was killed that very night. The Chida in Chomat Tanach cites a source which says that one of Belshazzar's servants was so taken by Daniel's interpretation that he killed the king and took his head to Cyrus and Dariavish, and they were strengthened in waging their war against Babel and conquered it. Thus ends the powerful Babylonian Empire. Thank you for studying together, Lilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rezel Rachel Bat Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo.